Well, it's great to be able to open the scriptures together each and every week. And apologies for my voice today. It's got a little something going on there. But let's read. I've selected three sections from Proverbs, all dealing in some way with honesty. There are dozens of Proverbs that relate to our theme in this summer series, and we're going to be going into those today. Proverbs 4, Proverbs 6, Proverbs 10. Let's just look at the scriptures. These Proverbs oftentimes are just a two-line statement meant to grab our attention. Let's let them grab our hearts as well. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you. Now, chapter 6. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devised wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. Now, chapter 10. The wise of heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to ruin. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. Whoever winks the eye causes trouble, and a babbling fool will come to ruin. How much do you value honesty and integrity? Let's see. Would you lie, bold face, flat out, not true, intentionally tell it, for a dollar? Anybody willing to tell a lie for a dollar? I hope I'm not motivating you now. I'm just making a point. Okay? I've got one here. Okay, how about for 10? How about for 100? How about for 1,000? How about for $10,000? Would you just say, "Forget it, man. I'm going to just twist the truth and bank the money." So, uncommon honesty can't be bought. And it won't be sold. You say, "No. No, my integrity matters more to me than $10,000. This series is unpacking what the Bible says for how believers grow in uncommon honesty. And we're going first in the Old Testament here a bit, then more in the New Testament. If you're saying, "Hey, what about the Holy Spirit?" and whatever, like, we'll get there, okay? A lot of that stuff is coming. But today we're considering the fear of the Lord, the source of honesty that's pointed to by the book of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord. This is so important for us, and I hope you say, "Okay, I'm embracing this today." It is true and abundantly true that the Lord hates heart-rooted dishonesty. Proverbs 6, verse 17, a lying tongue. Proverbs 6, verse 18, a heart that devises wicked plans. Proverbs 6, verse 19, a false witness who breathes out lies. These are an abomination to God. Proverbs 12, 22 says he detests dishonesty and he delights in truth, in integrity. God detests dishonesty and delights in truth. We got to get our head around that and say, "Wow, this is how God sees it." This heart that embraces the truth is a wise heart, and a wise heart walks in honesty. Proverbs chapter 10, do you see that? The wise of heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to ruin. Whoever walks in integrity, that's this wise heart, walks securely. There's a security in walking in integrity, in honesty. But he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. If you got a lie, you got a lot to keep track of to know when you were telling a lie and when you weren't, right? If you only tell the truth, It's really easy. Just tell what you told and keep your word. There's security in that. And we're going to look today at the depth of that security and the depth of how that can be built into us as we're talking about unseen springs for uncommon honesty. And today we're considering how the fear of the Lord results in uncommon honesty. Well, week one, we consider that we need a savior. We need forgiveness. We need something happening in our heart and change from the inside out. And Jesus comes to rescue those dishonest folks like us, because every one of us is and characterized by a heart that lies. We love to lie to ourselves and others and try to pull it off. And Jesus says, hey, I love you. I'm going to rescue you. And he came to seek and save the lost. And week two, we talked about Scripture, the power of the Word of God to transform us. But it's not going to transform us if we just let it sit over there on the shelf. We not only have to read it and study it and hear it, we got to meditate on it. We got to take it in to our hearts. And the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord meditates on it day and night. It's a constant thing. As I shared last week, you can do Bible study while you're driving down the road. Not by looking at your phone or your Bible while you're driving, but because you got it in your brain. And it goes from your brain to your heart. And how does this apply? And Lord, please help me. And I thank you, God. Can always be happening all the time as we meditate on God's word. These are like springs. Another spring is the fear of the Lord. We're going to talk about that today, which produces uncommon wisdom, which produces uncommon honesty. And all this is like a spring. And the image for this series, as I got it, is where'd you get this idea, Pastor Bruce, of the unseen spring? Well, you can't see it. You look at person A and person B. You don't know which one is honest, which one is dishonest. But there's something going on inside spiritually by the work of God's grace. These springs are all the work of God's grace. Uncommon honesty comes from God, but it does get put within us by the work of God. So that spring is there all the time. Near our house, there's a little pond. Even in the worst of droughts, there's always water in this pond. I've been told that is because there's a spring under it. In the droughts of life, we need a spring within us. These springs are the work of God's grace. Even though everybody around you is lying, even though everybody acts as if it's appropriate to lie, even though lying seems to get people ahead sometimes in the short term, there's something different going on in this. How is this happening? Because something's happening in the control center of our life, our heart. And Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, we read it there. Keep your heart with all vigilance. Fighting for that, man. Fight for the truth in your heart. For from it flow the springs of life. There are some scholars who believe when Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 38, I believe it is, as the scripture says, out of him shall flow rivers of living water. And then John says he said this about the Spirit. Many people believe Jesus may be referring to this very scripture, as the scripture says. And so these heart springs within us shape us. What are you going to really be like? Is it just fake honesty? But no, there's some real serious problems here. Perhaps hypocrisy and duplicity here. Or is it real? Is it real? The battle is there in your heart, for from it flow the springs of life. And that's what we're talking about today. How is this heart shaped in a way that is fundamentally honest? And we're considering uncommon honesty, the awestruck reverence for God, the fear of God. The grounding for honesty is the fear of God. And we need to explain that, because sometimes we don't want to think of it that way. And I'm going to hopefully convince you that yes, New Testament believers saved by the blood of Jesus, filled with the Spirit of God, still need to walk in the fear of God. Appropriate, awestruck reverence. He is God. He's holy. He's powerful. And yes, I have the privilege of knowing him by his mercy and grace through Jesus. But I don't take lightly who he is. And then guidance in honesty, the growing in the wisdom from God. This is a process. It begins when we turn to God, and it continues as we fear God, but it's a process. Proverbs points us to this process. Of course, Proverbs is framed in the Old Testament, where there was indeed the mercy of God provided for sinners to be forgiven through the sacrificial system, which pointed to the ultimate gift, which is Jesus and his mercy. And so we grow in that wisdom as we know God through faith in Jesus Christ and then continue to let his word and truth shape us. It is from God. Wisdom is from above, not from man. And some may say, well, people that don't believe in God have a certain amount of wisdom and a certain, perhaps, amount of honesty. It's possible now and then, I would grant you, but it's radically different. One, it is less deep. Two, it is not the standard of God. And three, maybe the biggest one, when that person has wisdom or honesty, you say, yay, you. Good job, you. When a believer lives in wisdom and honesty, it's not yay, you. It's yay, God. Yay, Jesus. This is a work of him. That's the guidance. That's the growing. And then we have a gift today for all fathers and all men. And anybody else wants a gift today, there's a gift we're going to tell you about. A gift for you and actually from you. You can give a gift if you take the gift. And it's not a rose, let me tell you. But it is a gift. I am giving you a gift today. It's a gift that comes from God, and it's a gift that comes from God that you can give to others. It's an amazing gift. I'm happy to tell you more about it today. There's where we're going. We're considering these Proverbs on honesty and integrity. This flows from the fear of God, God who gives us wisdom. Wisdom is like an unseen spring in our hearts. You want that spring? Listen up today. Grow in Jesus. And in this process, God shapes honesty in us in even deeper ways by the Spirit. Now, some read the Old Testament and say, oh, it's just the Old Testament. But this is pointing us to something true that continues in the New Testament. And not only continues in the New Testament, but moves even deeper, more internally, more real, lived through the power of the gospel and the working of the Holy Spirit. So all of this that I'm telling you today, take it and let the Spirit make it real in you. Real honesty, uncommon honesty. Where is it found? It's found in this awestruck reverence for God. Let's talk about it. First, the grounding for this honesty is the fear of God, point number one. And let's consider Psalm 14, verse 1. Whoever walks in uprightness, that's honesty, right? Fears the Lord. The fear of God goes with walking in this uprightness, this honesty, this integrity. But he who is devious in his ways despises him. It all hinges on response to God. And this fear of God, very common in the Old Testament, is this sense of awestruck reverence. And notice, it is the Lord. That's really big. Why is that big? This is Yahweh. This is the covenant name of God, not the generic God. This is revealed for redeemed covenant people, which we are through the gospel of Jesus Christ. The fear of the Lord correlates with walking honestly. This is the fear that delivers from fear. Let me explain. Anybody have fear of a passenger train? I think that would probably depend on where you position yourself. If you're riding on the train, wow, this is nice. It gets me to where I want to go fairly quickly without having to navigate traffic and all that stuff that I'm having to do if I'm on a commute, right? It's a wonderful thing to ride on a passenger train and benefit from its power. But position yourself on the railroad tracks while it is coming. Anybody have some fear of that? Yes, appropriately so, right? So it really is a matter of sort of where you position yourself as it relates to the awesome power and holiness of God. If you oppose God, it's like a person standing on the railroad tracks saying, God, what God? I'm going to run this thing myself. This is exactly what Psalm chapter 14, verse 1, chapter 15, verse 1 says when it says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. This may not be a card-carrying atheist. This may be somebody who on the outside says, oh yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, I do believe. But the heart meditation is, God's irrelevant to me. I'm managing this thing myself. I may give a word here or there to God, but actually what's going on in my heart is, nah, not really. I'll stand on these tracks and get away with it. The truth of the matter is you won't get away with it. It's like somebody jumping out of a skyscraper and, you know, five or six floors down saying, wow, isn't this fun? In the end, the splat of the sidewalk happens to everyone who opposes God. And of course, the wonderful thing for the believer in Jesus Christ is the reorienting of coming to experience God's mercy as we recognize our need for Him. Now, some of you are saying, yeah, but doesn't the New Testament say, you know, Jesus says, fear not, Matthew 10, verse 31, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 says, God did not give us a spirit of fear. 1 John 4, 16 says, perfect love casts out all fear. She's saying, no, I don't want anything to do with anything of fear. And I want to say, wait, you need this proper awestruck reverence for God, this seriousness about God, and even the New Testament affirms it. Jesus in Matthew 10, 28 says, do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot destroy the soul, but rather fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. That is the proper respect for God and his judgment for those who don't meet him as Savior. Fear him. And not only for those that don't yet know him, but even in Acts chapter 9, verse 31, as Luke writes about the church was multiplied in both members and impact by walking in the fear of the Lord, this proper awe of God. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, Paul says, work out your salvation. That is the application of it, not working for it, but grace receiving, work it out with fear. That is the fear of God, that sense of awestruck reverence for him and considering that the worst thing for me to do would be to take God lightly and act as if I can stand on the spiritual train tracks and get away with it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 actually commands it. Fear God as a good summary of Christian living. So it would be wrong to use passages about the fear deliverance that God gives to nullify this awe or reverent kind of fear. And I would say that until we fear God in this awe or reverence kind of fear, we will never be delivered from fear. But the fear of God is the fear, as we recognize our need for him, embrace Jesus as Savior, and continue to trust him, as we've been singing about, that's the fear that delivers from fear. John Newton put it well in Amazing Grace. He talked about the kinds of fear. Remember that? 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear.
That is to see my need for forgiveness, to see like, man, I'm in big trouble before a holy God, so I need Jesus, and he provides the freedom from punishment now and forever by his finished work on the cross. So I run to him and embrace him. That grace helps me to recognize that and fear him in a way that I receive him. And now, 'twas grace my fears relieved. By knowing and trusting Jesus, I'm not only delivered from fear of judgment, I'm delivered from fear of people, I'm delivered from fear of the future, I'm delivered from fear of calamity. I grow in him and trust in him as I walk in proper fear of him. He delivers from fear. Do you get it? So this fear of God, this awestruck reverence for God as God, is the grounding for honesty in the book of Proverbs. I want to walk you into that more deeply here as we look at the guidance in honesty that is wisdom from God. And we're going to talk about where wisdom comes from, which is the fear of God. So the Proverbs then repeatedly urge us in pursuit of wisdom. All of chapter 1 through 9 is pretty much just one big pursue wisdom, folks, okay? Just pursue it. And then from chapters 10 on, it's typically these two or three line couplets, normally around a contrast in this pursuit of wisdom. Wisdom is not knowing stuff. Wisdom is the skill in right living of a life oriented around the fear of God. It comes then when we make God the center, and this awe and reverence for God characterizes our life. Now, Proverbs pushes us in pursuit of that fear of God and that wisdom that comes from God through these catchy, memorable statements. Hence, Proverbs. There's lots of them. Usually, it's a comparison of some type. And these are meant to stir us. Like, oh, these are meant to grab us. Oh, wow. Oh, I don't want that. I want that. And so as we consider these, it's growing us in wisdom and it's pointing us to wisdom. And where does that wisdom come from? From God. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. In many ways, this is the theme of the whole book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight. God-shaped right living, the same word is in chapter 1, verse 7. Wisdom comes from the fear of God. As we looked last week, this fearing God wisdom grows in our heart as we meditate on Scripture, as we do so in the context of our relationship with Him. We trust in Him, we grow in Him, we look to Him, and the Word of God becomes more and more a part of us. And Proverbs are part of that. These little sayings are not just meant to be, oh, that's nice to know, to meditate on and let them become a part of our heart. And Proverbs emphasizes this wisdom. Once again, Proverbs 1:7, the word wise or word wisdom is used over 60 times in Proverbs. Again and again and again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom. They say, nah, I don't need that God-centered stuff. But the wise say, yes, I do, and they embrace it. Now, there are many proverbs that are directly or indirectly about honesty. I mean, as I've been meditating on them and reading, it's like, wow, it's all over Proverbs. Let me give you two that are specifically about integrity, as that same Hebrew word as in Proverbs 9, or rather Proverbs 10, verse 9. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely. There's a security of it. There's a stability of it. There's a safety of it. But he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. Busted. Eventually busted. The integrity of the upright guides them. Not only is there security there, there's guidance there. Like, what's the right thing? The right thing is to do the right thing. It's to say the right thing. It's to do what you said and say what you do. That honesty guides you. But the crookedness of the treacherous destroys him. Not only not guidance, destruction, by not being honest. Those are proverbs to meditate on, to take to heart as we embrace God's wisdom. You know, this wisdom, the New Testament says, is found in Jesus. Think of that. When we know him, grow in him, let his character and identity more and more become our character and identity through his work in us. That's wisdom. There it is. So all wisdom, including honesty, comes as we walk in humble trust in Jesus. It's in the context of relationship. It's just not just knowing things. It's knowing and growing in him. To reach all the riches of the full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, this is what God is working in us through the work of Christ, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom. All of it is in him, and he builds it into us. So what does it look like? If you say, hey, Pastor Bruce, I hear what you're saying. I want to grow in this. Here's just some practical things to make a part of your life, commitments to make. I pray and worship Jesus day by day and on Sunday. Why do I say Sunday? Because it is something the Bible exhorts us to do, and something people, the community gathering to worship Jesus together. People today tend to think, oh, I don't really need that. Yes, you do really need that. It's an expression of the fear of the Lord, Jesus treasuring and embracing wisdom. I seek scripture wisdom. I seek it, and especially the character of Jesus. Everything you see in Jesus, that's wise. Lord, build that into me. Apply that to my heart, not just on the outside, inside, by your Spirit. And the Bible commands, then, are Jesus' words for me. They're not for somebody else. These are the words of Jesus for me to do. And when I'm not honest, when I'm dishonest with myself, God, and others, I confess it. I ask him to grow me in it, in honesty that's within. And I mine and meditate the Proverbs. Get your shovels out. Get your axes out. There's gold in them there hills. There's lots of gold in them there hills. The gold of wisdom and honesty in the Word of God. Mine it, meditate on it. It's better than any treasure you'll ever find. That's how this is built into us. Now, I mentioned a gift for fathers, from fathers, and on Father's Day, I want to just give you a proverb. Dads, this inspired me. I hope it inspires you. The good thing is, even if you're not a dad, this applies to you in some way as well. Other men, this applies to you. Women, this applies to you. Young people, if you want to bless people, anybody say, oh, it's a good idea to bless people. I'm going to tell you how to bless people. You got to accept this gift, and then it's a gift you can give. Here's what it is. I know, dads, you want this gift for your kids. You want them to be blessed with God-centered, God-defined blessing, don't you? Here's what it is. He who walks in his integrity, the righteous who walks in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. Your kids are blessed when you walk in. Not just have it, walk in it. Live it. Even those who don't have kids can help bless future generations by walking honestly. How does that work? Well, if you know your dad always tells you the truth and you watch your dad do the truth, something happens to you. Something happens that's beautiful. And pointing to the Savior and your need for him, that's beautiful. Blessed are his children. We've been talking about aspects of this. Our need for forgiveness, honesty in money manners, honesty in words, that we're the same person in all situations. Why did Jesus get so hard on hypocrites? Because they're not the same person in all situations. Honest about sexual integrity and fidelity. Honest about your weaknesses. Not doing image management. Lord, deliver us from being a church that we put on for one another. Let's be genuine in admitting our needs and pointing each other to Jesus and his wisdom, the fear of the Lord, the awestruck reverence that gives us uncommon honesty. This flows from the fear of God who gives wisdom. It's like an unseen spring. What's your response today? Can I give a couple responses? One is, if you're here today and you're like, man, I think I may be standing on the train tracks. Turn to Jesus. There's rescue. There's forgiveness. There's grace. As you take God seriously, turn to Jesus for forgiveness. So the blessings of knowing him start in you and are built in you. The inner transformation of God's grace growing you as you continue to turn and trust Christ, in whom are hidden the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And secondly, I'd like to invite response B. If you know Jesus, take a proverb to heart. Maybe one of these. I gave you three or four on integrity. Maybe you're going to mine it yourself and pick out one. But take one of those proverbs and say, that's mine. That's mine. I'm going to meditate on it as I continue in this awestruck reverence for God. I'm going to write it down and let God write it on my heart. Whoever walks in uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is devious in his ways despises him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word, even for the word in the Proverbs. Thank you for how it points to our need for your mercy and grace. Thank you for Jesus, our Savior, who provides it. Forgiveness for each one who turns to you, Lord, in fearing you rightly. And Lord, as we continue in that awestruck reverence for you, Lord, grow us in wisdom. Grow us in the kind of wisdom, the skill in right living that would be characterized by uncommon honesty, honesty that the world rarely sees, Lord, but that points to you and is a blessing to others, even to the next generations. Lord, for dads, I pray this prayer, that their lives would be characterized by that vision of knowing you and trusting in you in a way that their children, grandchildren, others they influence, God, would know them as men of uncommon honesty that's grounded in you. We thank you, Lord, for your work of grace that provides forgiveness and fresh starts through Jesus, our Savior. Lord, may that forgiveness and those fresh starts fill this room and our hearts today. And we thank you and pray in his name.